So this morning, we are doing a Q&A with Charlie and Cheryl, and we've got a whole pile of questions that have been generated, and we would love to hear from them as part of our series. So either one of you, how have you experienced generosity in your life?
Q&A, I thought I was doing the questions.
Nah, I'm doing the questions.
That's not true, he knows.
You go first. You go first, Pastor Cheryl.
Okay, I have experienced generosity in a number of ways. When I was a kid, my dad was a pastor of a small town church. Probably less than 100 people attended. There was only like 800 people in the town even. And I remember very clearly overhearing my parents talk several times about like, how are we gonna feed our family? And there are 6 kids in the family, so that's a a lot of mouths to feed. I don't recall ever going hungry, though. There was I remember a farmer named Mac who would like let my mom come and fill up huge jugs of milk straight from the tank of when after he milked his cows. And we were always, I mean, we didn't eat like, you know, lobster, but which is good because I don't like lobster. But we did experience that. That poverty and people giving very generously to us. I also now just see, I try to be generous in my life, but my mother is an example of someone who is like the most generous I've ever met. And she does not have a lot of money. And now she's a widow. But she, when I called her, when I did my role change, I got a little bit of a raise. I called her to let her know. And she said, the first thing she said to me was, now you can give more. And she is the kind of person who will give beyond what you're allowed to give on your taxes. Like they refund you, I guess, a certain amount, and she passes the limit all the time. Like she is just like, I don't care, just give in my money. God will take care of me. And so that's something that I aspire to. That's very scary, but her faith and her generosity is something that is very powerful in my life.
How do I experience generosity? It's such a broad question. I'll try to be quick. By the way, if you are new here, the reason why the question regarding generosity, and I imagine there's other questions regarding generosity and money, the reason why questions are focused on that is we just got done with a small series on generosity. So anyways, how do I experience generosity? The word experience is interesting because it's true. I can answer that, like how I experience it. But when it comes to generosity, when I have to do it, a lot of times it's not necessarily something I experience as much as something like by faith I have to like choose to do. So, but it is both. So when it comes to some things, like yesterday, I cooked paella and octopus and bread, and I was like, "Someone needs to eat this with us." I just felt like I felt rich, you know. And I love to cook, and I felt like there's like a bountiful amount of food that's gonna be here. My kids don't appreciate it. I need someone who will appreciate it. So started sending some text messages. When I know that I am rich, generosity comes natural, okay? When I understand that I am rich, generosity comes natural. Now, how do I experience, and I'm gonna come back to that, I'm sure, with other questions, but just please remember that. When I understand that I'm rich, generosity comes natural. Now, with some things, I don't naturally just experience it so easily, specifically when it comes to money. I am not naturally generous with money. It is not my instinct to just to give. But after getting married, my wife said, hey, we should start giving this percentage of our money each month. And I remember thinking, yeah, but that's a lot. And we might need it. We might, you know, run out someday. But we started doing that early in our marriage. And this is just what I've learned when it comes to generosity. live a generous life, and there's always enough. There's always enough. There's these stories in the Old Testament that always come back to me, but for this, I'll just say like the story of manna. Every day, they'd wake up, and it's like, well, there's food on the ground. Just go grab it. And next day, it's like, wake up, food on the ground. It's just a continual supply. And I guess I'll say it now. We are rich. Whether you've learned to be generous or not, we have a God in heaven who takes care of us every day. The bread is not going to go dry. The manna is not going to stop appearing. We are rich with a promise of love and comfort and provision, material provision. We are rich. And the more we can walk in that identity of knowing how rich we are, the more natural generous can be. That generosity can flow from us. So, I'll just leave it at that.
Preach the whole sermon.
Yeah, that sounds really good, but what if I'm financially really tight? Like, I managed to pay my bills, but I still have, debt owing, and I'm struggling. How can I be generous?
You want this one? I'll take it. It's your call.
You go for it.
Okay, fine.
I might add some stuff.
Sure. So the question is, should I be generous with...
No, it's like how
can I?
In those financially.
If it feels like there's not enough. Okay,
yeah.
great question. First off, before I go any farther, it's weird being a pastor who lives off of people's donations to be talking about money, especially when there is a very reasonable feeling thought in the world, like religion is after my money, the church wants my money, things like that. So let me just clear the air by saying, we're talking about generosity in general, and if you don't have a trust relationship with the church, give your money to someone you trust, an organization you trust. Or if you just know someone in need, this is about much more than giving to Westview Church. This is about living as generous people. The question is, what if I don't feel like I really have enough? Now, there's a part of me that would be tempted to say, well, in those circumstances, just try to be generous in ways that you can afford to be. But I'm not going to say that, because that's not really how the Bible paints it. Jesus referred to a woman who had one penny to live on, and she gave it away, and Jesus praised her for it. In the Old Testament, there's a woman who is on her last, she's got enough oil and flour for one more meal, and then the plan is to die because there's a famine, and the prophet says, give it away. And what I'm trying to say is, there's a mentality that I said earlier, we are rich because we have a God who's not going to stop taking care of us. That's the truth, whether you feel it or not. And if you are feeling stressed, like if you're feeling like that's not true, I'm worried we're not going to have food for tomorrow. I'm worried about rent. That can happen whether you have a lot of money or a little money. If you're feeling that, that's all the more reason to get into that generosity mindset, get into that mindset of, no, I am an overflowing well. And now by faith, begin to turn that around. And I would say there's even more reason to be generous, okay? Because what we're doing is we're doing it by faith. Now, with that being said, let's say a circumstance arises where you literally cannot buy food or pay rent. The good news is we are in this together. That's how it works. That's as a church. As a church, you talk to your friends in the church or talk to church staff if that is going on, and that's part of how this works, is something like that happens. Like, in our, who I was talking with someone about this recently, but it's like, I said, you know, let's say I ran out of money. Would I be worried at all? No, because I know as soon as I would share that with friends, brothers and sisters, there'd be lines of people that would say, I'd be willing to help. And that is how the church is supposed to work. So there is an element of, yes, there is an element of giving yourself, and this is much more than financially, this is like giving your life to the church. And in that is like we have each other's backs. That's, I just, yeah, I could say more about that, but I'll give you some room to speak
here.
I think
an important part of that is listening and asking God how and what to give, because we can give money, we can give time, we can give of what we are, like the gifts that he's given us as far as skills and talents to the church, to each other. I think of a story where I knew this lady in Vancouver, and she was working on the downtown east side, which is very drug-ridden, homelessness, really heartbreaking area, and very, very poor. And she did not have a lot of money because she was a missionary living on support, working down there. And she was going to church one day, and she said, I looked at my bank account, and I realized I only had enough money to either pay my rent or to give, like, to tithe. And she said it wasn't even like something I had to struggle with, because she said, I know that if I don't tithe, I'm limiting God's ability to bless me by, like, just taking that money for my needs. And so she gave what she had to the Lord, and then ended up having a check in her mailbox like that week to that covered her rent, the exact amount, which is incredible to think about. And that's where it's like, we need to trust a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who he is not limited the way that we are limited. And of course, yes, we can make our needs known. But the point I'm trying to make is if we hear from God that we should be blessing someone else, that we should be obedient to that, because that woman would not have gotten her rent money if someone hadn't been obedient to God and said, I need to write a check for this lady and cover her rent. So I think that's just an example of how we can be here for each other and considering each other and asking God to be generous with us as we're generous with other people.
So generosity in my life has been huge, because I've received so much love and affection from people, tangible presence, company, like in ways that are not monetary. And I'm thinking now that I'm retired, and I know other people that are more home-focused, whether it's a man or a woman, but they're the primary caregiver of their home. They don't earn a paycheck. So we're talking about money now, but what are other forms of generosity?
I think about generosity with the three T's. I don't know where I picked this up, but it's time, treasure, and talents. So the treasure is obviously the money part, but you can be generous with your time, like just listening to someone, spending time serving at the church in some way. Even the way that you interact, if you're at home interacting with your kids, can be an act of generosity, because that's the mission field that God's called you to first if you're a parent. And then with your talents, again, you know, the people who are up here on stage leading worship, like they're being generous with their talents. They're getting here early in the morning. They're practicing, they're running through things, they spend time during the week working on this, and then they come and they share that with us, and that's an act of generosity. The prayer team who's in the front are generous with the gifts that God has given them in prayer. There's so many ways that we can be generous, and we do tend to just go straight to the money part, but there's so much that we can do to be generous in our day-to-day lives, not even in this building, not even just with those people who are either watching online or here in this room, but like even, I always go back to driving, because people drive me nuts when they're driving not the way that I want them to drive, but to be generous in, I'm going to let that guy in, you know? I'm going to not be like, ah, when someone is being not paying attention or, you know, like, so there's so many ways that we can be generous, and I feel like it's like almost like, okay, God, like, what's the generosity adventure that you have for me today, you know? Because I think that it's not just something that's like, oh, I have to be generous, but it's like, the term I like to think about is extravagant generosity, because Jesus literally gave his life for us. Like, that you can't be more generous than that. So how can we be extravagant with our generosity? And that can be a smile at someone in the grocery store. That can be paying attention to someone who needs to have some time to just talk. It can be so many things. I'm not going to go on. I can just list things forever, but that will mean the time will be over. But
so just a really quick story. There was a lady in our church who loved to knit. And so she started this group of ladies who would knit. And through that time, just being together and teaching other people how to knit, she was able to share her own story, her own walk with God. And that enabled those who were in that group to hear for themselves. And some chose over a long period of time, they saw who God was in this woman and wanted the same thing. So generosity is, like you said, sharing of skills, something simple like that, but it took a lot of time.
Nita, the question said, what are different ways to be generous? I'm really glad you asked that question, because this is about much more than what often comes to mind first, which is money. This is really, in a lot of ways, the essence of the new life, living a generous life. It says it in, I think, 1 Corinthians, it could be Romans, says the first man, as in like Adam, was a living being. That was like normal. A human was just a living being. But the second man, Jesus, was a life-giving spirit. So basically being just alive or being a life-giving spirit, that was the nature of Jesus. And that is the new nature, the heavenly nature that we are called to and empowered with. We have a nature given by God. This is part of being born again as we trust in him, a nature that is made to give. Now, still, even though that is our nature, there still involves that choice that by faith I'm going to give. And so what I'm saying is, to bring it back to the question, here's something I experience often. I am feeling like I have no energy. Okay, feeling like I don't have energy, and not just like physically, not just like emotionally, almost like spiritually. Like I just feel like a sense of just like blah, a sense of just, I don't feel a sense of just like overflow, you know? This happens to everyone, I imagine. And I've learned one of, if not the best way out of that, is to say, who can I invite over to cook for? Who can I give to? As in, like, the answer, I feel like I am this reservoir that's empty, but by faith, I say, no, the answer is not to give and feed myself right now. Actually, the way that I feed myself is by feeding others. And so, for me, like I said, I love cooking, and I love sharing food with people. That's one of the ways that I do that. And I would say, pay attention to the way that you give that really brings that sense of power and joy, and do that. Find that, do that. For some, that might be sharing like gifts of music. Do it. For some, it might be, Miriam was greeting this morning at the door. I said, thank you for this. I forget what she said, but something like, I love it. Thank you. This makes me happy. Showing up to church early, greeting people, this makes me happy. I hate waking up early in the morning. You know that if you know anything about me. I hate it. Mornings are of the evil one, okay? But next Sunday, I am super excited to get here at 7:30 a.m. and make a ton of donuts. So that is part of the way that God has gifted us with gifts to give. The spiritual gifts are meant to help us be that life-giving spirit. So figure out, find, ask God, ask others, learn what it is you have been gifted to give, and do that.
Okay, so we're going to take a little deviation here. The Bible, at least we've been told, 10% is what you're supposed to give. Like, where did that come from? Is that really true? What if I can't afford 10%? What if I'm wealthy and I want to give more than 10%? How do I choose where to give? Lots of questions.
Lots of questions.
Yeah, I'll start it. You can probably finish it off. The 10% is more of a guideline. It's God asked the people of Israel to give 10%, but he had a lot of other guidelines as well for what they had to give. Like every 50 years, land that had been sold had to be returned to its original owners. So those are practices that we don't necessarily do anymore. So I would say 10% is a good guideline, but it's not like if you can't give 10%, you're not in sin. If you want to give 50%, if you want to give whatever, you know, beyond that, you are able to do that. That is up to you and God. I would say the more important thing is to be faithful to what God is asking you to do in the time when you are giving.
So 10%. So she asked about 10%, if you knew this, and the word that is often used is tithing, which means, I think, literal tenth. And yes, that is found in the Old Testament before Jesus. It was commanded to the people of Israel. And so the question is, are we supposed to give 10%? And I would say that when it comes to generosity and giving, supposed to should never be part of the equation, because God, it says, no one should give out of compulsion. No one should give when they don't want to, when they're doing it out of pressure or guilt. Instead, God loves a joyful giver. So when it comes to, are we supposed to give this percentage? That's no longer part of the equation. However, I am actually not so quick to just assign the 10% to the law of Moses. And the reason for that for me is Abraham did that before Moses. And Abraham is actually the man of faith. So actually, when people ask, like, they might be new at this and they might think, okay, well, what does it mean to be generous, specifically with money? How much should I give? And I know I'm not saying you are supposed to give 10%. Some people give much more than that. Some people give less, and that's just where their faith is at. That's where what they can do joyfully, and do what you can do joyfully. But personally, I was challenged to give 10% early in my Christian life. And often when I am talking with people and discipling them and challenging them how to live the Christian life, I do challenge people to try to give 10%. It is a challenge. Now, when I say a challenge, let me be clear. I am not trying to guilt or trying to pressure. But what I am trying to say is there is something about living out of the mustard seed. What I mean by that is, okay, so much of me is afraid when it comes to money. So much of me feels fear and anxiety and a feeling of scarcity. But there's a mustard seed of faith in me that believes that God's going to take care of me. He's always going to take care of me. And I want to live out of that part. That's the part I want to live out of. So with that, I try to give 10%, and I encourage others to do the same. I think it's a good place to start. That's just my point of view. You can chuck that point of view, as in you're not sinning if you ignore it. You are not under any law. And you're not sinning if you fail to meet that law. There's nothing like that. But the truth is, in Christ, you are rich. You have a Father in heaven who's always going to keep taking care of you. And sometimes, actually, when you have more money, it can be harder to really live that way. Because if you have more money, it's really easy to start to feel like your bank account is what supplies your needs. And sometimes when you have less, that's a good place to really be reminded of how much you depend on God's provision. And I can just tell you, my oh my, he is faithful. He is so faithful And my experience of our God, our gracious, rich God, my experience is, yes, he meets our needs. But sometimes, often, he goes above and beyond, just showing his goodness in ways that he's faithful. Maybe some of those stories will come out as we keep talking, but I'm going to...
I already said stuff.
So that was our last question. Let's pray for
that
us.
That went by quick.
Yes, it went by quick. Father, thank you for reminding us that it is your love that forms and molds us, and it is our choice of attitude that really shapes how generous we are. It is our fears that cause us limitations to the generosity that we would like to show others. And Father, we ask that as we do our lives, that we would remember how generous you are towards us so that we can be generous towards each other. In Jesus' name, amen.